that you want to be true, so much so that you make it true for you. It's something I want to believe is true to the extent that I will see it as true, I'll make it true, even though it's not true. So the Course in Miracles definition of an illusion is a false idea. And it's basically saying there are but two things, love and fear, as all that exists, and that we have some blocks that's keeping us from seeing the love. Those blocks are in our perception. So it wants to correct our perception so that we can see what's already there. You know, so it's almost analogies and pictures to me make the Course easier to understand. You know, it's like, if I open the blinds, the light's already there ready to shine through. What I need to do is open the blinds. So we don't have to put love in ourselves. We don't have to put innocence in ourselves. We don't have to put freedom in ourselves. We don't have to put beauty in ourselves. All that stuff that people are trying to make themselves be like, it's like trying to paint the blinds. As I go there, I want the blinds to look good. You know, the blinds are blocking the light. It's the light on the other side of the blinds is what I want, right? But I don't open the blind. I just start painting the pictures of an outdoors. So I got a pretty picture of some clouds and everything else. You know, then I fall in love with the illusion, with what I've tried to do to my illusion to make it tolerable to me. You know, that the Course is basically what we call change is rearranging our jail cell. It's like, you know, it's like the convict going up. He put his bunk on the other side, you know. Yeah. Oh, I've really changed things. I'm no longer in prison now because, see, now my desk is on this side of the room. And basically that's what the Course says we do. We just constantly rearrange our jail cells. And we call it, as a matter of fact, it talks about, that's right, I could really. Okay, I'm going to jump around. That's some good stuff I'm being told to talk about. All right. So anyway, so any form of fear is, of course, defined as an error, and love is the truth. So when it says truth will correct all errors in my mind, you could say that's the same as love will create all fears in my mind, or you could say abundance will create all lack, will correct all lack in my mind. But the Course is saying basically, if you make a mistake, what can correct it but the truth? If you got a mistake, if there's an error that you're dealing with in your life, so the Course would define an error as anything that you're using to keep you from feeling peace. So if there's anything in your life right now that you're not feeling peace about, the Course in Miracles would define that as an error. Okay? And then it tells us, well, if you're dealing with an error, which means you're dealing with some form of fear or upset, the only thing that's going to correct that is going to be the truth. So if you're in a situation where you are experiencing pain, you're in a situation where you need some truth. And so I try to make this practical. That's why I try to say it in such a way that we can take specific things that we're individually dealing with and bring it to the Course. Then it won't seem so abstract to us. You see what I mean? So the advantage of 28 years of teaching this is that I can save you a lot of time if you'll let me. But it's okay if you don't. I'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like going to flight school. The pilot walks in and says, "Well, I could save you a lot of time in learning how to fly if you let me, because of the little time that's been devoted to it, and the number of people that I've experienced learning it with me. So I could bring you 30 years of learning right into this moment and save you 30 years. But then that involves the thing, of course, that is sometimes the most difficult for us to do is, number one, admit we don't know and be willing to let go of our attachment to the way we see things, and then trust. You know, and say, he says, we're in a world of fear, so our first instinct is not to trust. But what we don't realize, he says, is that identifies you as being untrustworthy. So anybody who can see, no, they can't trust you. But that's all deep. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm the one that's not trustworthy because I'm the one that don't trust. So if a person doesn't trust me and I know I'm trustworthy, I know I can't trust them. Yeah. So the Course says, what can correct illusions but the truth, and what are errors but illusions that remain unrecognized for what they are? Where truth has entered, the errors disappear. So therefore, any area of your life that you have a mistake in or a fear in, the Course says, the minute you really let the truth enter that situation, it will disappear. Whatever the mistake is, whatever the pain is, whatever the upset is, when the truth enters it, it will disappear. Okay, so therefore, how can a person tell if they're applying the truth to a situation that's upsetting them? the problem and pain will disappear. So how do we know that we haven't experienced in this world applying the real truth to this world? The problem and the pains have not disappeared. So how do we know the answer has not been applied yet? Because the fear has not disappeared. How do you know you haven't applied the answer to your abundance problem? When the lack disappears, you know you have corrected it. So what the Course does is take any area that we are confused about and gets us real clear on where we stand, if we are willing to take it, because it's kind of deep at first. Because it means, I know I think I got this issue that I'm dealing with a member of my family, but the truth is, if I'm upset about it, it means I haven't really applied the truth to it yet. And when I apply the truth to this situation that's involving this relative, then I no longer have any conflict and the problem will disappear. So the one thing you can be sure of about a problem that hasn't disappeared is that the solution you come up with has not been the right one. Can we agree on that? Yeah, I know. Don't this make you mad? Because you want to be miserable and be right. You know what I'm saying? That's a big deal for us. You know, to say I'm in a situation that I'm upset about, but I really have been applying the truth, and the truth really hasn't worked. I practiced the Course on everything, but when it comes to my mama, the Course in Miracles just don't work. Okay. She's outside of the realm of God. There are some exceptions. Even God can help my mama. You know what I'm talking about? The Course says we all have those exceptions, and those exceptions are just areas that how do you put it, our exception is nothing but our ego's life preserver, basically. You know what I'm saying? It's like that little fire extinguisher. You know, when all else fails, call your mama. Okay, you want to feel bad when all else fails, call your mama. You know what I'm saying? The person you got the problem with, or wherever you got the problem, of course, that's where your ego runs to as soon as you start to recognize the truth. You got those issues that it seems like you can't solve, and those are the ones that we use in emergency to make us believe the truth couldn't possibly be true when it looks like it's beginning to work.
Wow.
That's resistance.
Yeah, it's like as soon as I'm starting to experience the love, as soon as I'm starting to experience the truth, it's such a threat to my thought system and the way that I believe things to be that I have those areas that I immediately know to go to create some kind of pain for me to slow me down and make me believe this stuff doesn't really work. So the problems that you have are nothing but the defenses that you use to keep your old thought system going. It's your ego's attempt to keep you from changing. Okay, that's all the problem is. It's just something else to make us think we can't have the peace that these books say we can have. Because my life is based on conflict, and I know how to deal with conflict. I don't know how to deal with peace and joy and love completely, trusting completely, loving completely, being completely vulnerable and open. I don't know how to do that. So when that starts to happen, I get scared and I create a relationship where somebody hurts me so that I won't have to trust people again, because see what happens when you trust them. Then I can safely go back into my closed state and believe that I'm doing great things. So that's what I've just described is a form of the ego's defense, which of course calls it a defense against the truth. It's simply the things you introduce into your life unconsciously to convince yourself that the new you you're trying to be isn't real. It's not going to happen. How many times do I say that when something seems to go wrong during the day? Do I go, oh my God, what I'm going through right now at work is just an attempt for me to convince myself that I'm not the holy child of God, that I can't have peace? Then I go talk to the boss about what happened early this morning about that job. I tell myself the truth first, and then I go out and deal with it however I need to deal with it in the world. But I make sure I tell myself the truth first. Then I pick up the phone and call the person to take care of what needs to be taken care of. The truth is, this problem I have with my client and that I'm upset about is just an attempt for me to fool myself, to make myself think I can't have peace every day and that peace is inside of me. It's my trick to still believe what the world has taught me to be true, which is that everything that makes me happy is something outside myself. That's all this really is. It's a trick of my mind to make me forget the truth. It's a trick of my mind to make me forget the truth. Now, I'll go call the bank and see why my check bounced. You see the difference? I deal with the real deal, then I deal with the form the illusion took. The form it took was a bounced check that I'm upset about. But the real reason I'm upset is that I created it in order to weaken my belief in my own peace and my own truth. Because it's too threatening to my old identity. The one that I was before I tried to change. Don't think your old self is just going to kick back and say, okay, get rid of me and have a brand new self. That's the ego. It's the old idea we have about ourselves. Yes?
Is it possible to have sort of second harvest of old conflict still coming back, even though you're breaking these new ideas, and when they come up, keep applying it, and they'll get smaller and smaller.
And they'll disappear.
And then those people, if they're not ready for the new you, will fade away and stop that. What feels like attack, but which is just more common.
Yeah, they'll fade away, but what I've noticed happens even more commonly over the years that I've taught people and been around people is that when they do an internal shift on the outside, instead of that, those people necessarily leaving their life, what happens is those people, for some reason, start to have peace in their relationship with those people. So in most cases, back in my own experience, in my own personal family, brothers, I can talk to them just like I'm talking to you. I can talk to them about anything that I feel and anything that I'm into and blah, blah, blah. But when I first got into this, they were just like anybody else. You know what I'm saying? In terms of how they reacted to it. But I believe what I was told, which was if I changed my mind, then my outer world would change. And so at first I tried to change them. And then I realized that I had always tried to change people in order for me to be happy. So that was just a perpetuation of an old thought system in a new form. So the Course says I need to change it within myself. So I started doing the workbook lessons. And then I started to join consciously as much as I could with people who were headed in the same direction that I'm headed. And I spent most of my time with them. And then I would feel so good and receive so much love that when I came around my family, when I walked in the door, I'd feel a lot of love. And so I'd start hugging and that kind of stuff. We was a no-hug, no-touch kind of family when I first started in this. And now we're just sickening how much we're hugging all over each other. And so it's funny. It's like just my sister said to me just the other day when I was talking to her. She said, she just read The Secret. She said, do you know that I realized that that's exactly the stuff that you were telling me about 20 years ago? Mm-hmm. You said, you were talking about this stuff 20-something years ago. And I said, no, see, that's the thing about the truth. You don't have to worry about it. If it's the truth, sooner or later, the person is going to have to recognize it in order to have peace. And it's not your personal responsibility to make sure that they do it on your timetable. And that's what people wanted. They want it on their timetable. So I trust that God doesn't love me more than God loves my brothers and sisters. So therefore, I know any opportunity to wake up that is afforded me is also afforded to everybody else also. And all popcorn doesn't pop at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm getting impatient because I want my brother kernel to pop at the same time I pop. No, I just need to be conscious that they will pop, and this is really good popcorn. So all the kernels pop. There are no unpopped kernels. So I popped in some ways. Some people around me don't seem like they have popped. As a savior, what you do is you believe that person is going to pop. You believe that they're going to become that magnificent being that's their spiritual nature. You see what I mean? You believe it while they're still a kernel, and then you don't do nothing to keep the kernel from popping. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like if the chicken's getting ready to hatch, you don't start chipping away at the egg to help it get out because you know it needs to force itself out to be strong enough to live. That's us. And what our shell is our old belief systems of fear and separation that we learn from the world that don't bring us peace. That's our shell. But it also is our incubator. It's making us what we are right now through those lessons that we're learning. And then we get strong enough to break out of the shell of that learning into the real reality that was hidden by the shell. And the shell is your perception. Your shell is your perception. What do you mean? You live inside the way you see things. Everybody in here, I know you're living inside of the way you see things. That's your shell. And there's a whole world on the other side of the way you see things. Which is deep. Because I get so clear, that I feel like the way I see things is the way it is. So, the Course says that, he says that the errors merely vanish, and when the error or the problem vanishes, the Course says what? It leaves not a trace. by which to be remembered. So the course says not only when you tune into the truth are your problems solved, you don't even remember ever having them. So you're not even looking back saying, oh, that problem was solved in 1994. You won't remember you had a problem in 1994 to reminisce about when it's really solved. So what I like about this book is it introduces concepts that I know I can't do on my own. And it frustrates my ego. Because my ego, well, how in the world will I ever not only realize I have no problems, but don't even remember? That's just too much. I don't see how I could ever do that. And of course, that's exactly right. You can't. And that's the whole lesson. You can't. Oh, my. Okay. Then it goes on to say that they are gone, the illusions or the problems or the errors are gone. Why? Because without belief, they have no life. If you don't believe in the problem can't live. If you don't believe in the mistake, he says the mistake can't live. And what is a mistake? He says always some form of fear. So if I didn't believe in my fears would disappear. If I didn't believe in my guilt would disappear. If I didn't believe in my anger would disappear. If I didn't believe in my jealousy would disappear. If I didn't believe in my insecurity would just disappear. And so they disappear to nothingness. The Course says, well, returning whence they came. They return to where they came from. From dust to dust they come and go, and only truth remains. So it looks like people come and go, houses come and go, civilizations come and go. Looks like periods of history come and go. But what doesn't seem to go are all the underlying laws and rules that created it all. If you notice, your body has changed, but the thing that's still the same is whatever it is that enables you to continue to live. My body doesn't look the way it did 30 years ago, but I'm certainly the same being, and I know myself to be, but just with more experience in the world. But I'm the same little girl that ran around in the yard when I was 7 years old. It's just that it's like, so I am permanent. My form changes. But when you fight the changing of the form, you die faster. And the moment all the time I spend fighting my illusion makes my illusion stronger.
Mm-hmm. So then you said, if I don't believe in fear and problems and death, but what is the belief, what is it that we carry? If you want to let go of the fear, let go of the jealousy, let go of all of that.
Oh, great! What you do is you let go of the false ideas that you've learned since you got here about who and what you are. Which is that you're separate from God, that you're guilty, that somehow or another you can harm others, that somehow or another you're just this body that's born and Selby and dies someday. It's like the Course says what's killing us is our belief system, because we don't recognize that we create through our thought, through our belief, through what we believe we are, it's what we live in. And we don't know that. We're not really taught that. And we erroneously believe that we know all of ourselves just because we know the part of us that we are most in a special relationship at any given time. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like your latest version of yourself is who you think is you. Just like the version you thought you was 10 years, you thought that was you too, but you don't think it is now. Well, one day you're going to look back at this one and say it wasn't real either, so why don't you just save some time and say you're not real right now? That's what it's like right now. This is the official Earl, but I know 5 years from now I won't be saying this is official Earl. I said, well, that's the way I used to be. The Course says, well, if you realize that, then you realize it's already not you. It's already just an opinion you have about yourself. And so that's the error. The error is to not know who we are and just to think we are who we believe we are and who we were taught we are. And then he says the way you know we couldn't possibly be anything we were taught we are is that there's no peace.
Okay.
That there's fear. That there's disease. That there's anger. He says, just those things alone ought to be enough to let you know you couldn't possibly be dealing with something that love created. He says, we won't even start with the basics. Like, why would something that loved me put me in a place where I could even be accidentally killed?
Right. See, if I had a choice, I wouldn't even put my child in something that they even had to worry about even hurting themselves to begin with. If I really love you, I wouldn't even put you in an environment where even your ignorance could hurt you. Right? So why am I in a world that it looks like that can happen?
Because I believe it.
Because I believe in it. From the moment that I was born, I was taught fear. I was taught separation. I was taught sinfulness. I was taught guilty. I was taught I was a body. Oh, I don't know that I create a reality around what I believe I am. And so now I'm living in an environment that's based on my idea of who I think I am. And I know it couldn't be true when I'm not happy. Because if I don't feel fulfilled, I couldn't possibly be in my natural environment that's a reflection of my real self. And that's the kind of stuff the Course does. It just breaks it down so much that your ego freaks out, because your ego loves to believe that it's right even though it's wrong and miserable. But once you realize that people are 99% of the time unhappy simply because they're making the decision to do that from moment to moment because they don't love themselves and they're trying to punish themselves, you have a different reaction to seeing people's unhappiness, because you no longer think that they're that way because they can't do anything about it. You begin to realize that they're that way because that's the way they're choosing to deal with their problem. They think the way to deal with a problem is to suffer. Suffering has become the way they decided to exonerate themselves, and so they create drama, relationships, financial situations, health situations, and all kinds of situations in order to give themselves the punishment that they need to be absolved of their crime. Because in the world, we're taught that when you're punished, you're now free. You pay your debt to society the once you've been punished. So if I'm a good person and I want to pay my debt for something I think I did wrong, I punish myself. But since I'm an adult, I'll punish myself through the situations, circumstances, and people that I'll draw to myself and create for myself, because I no longer have a physical parent to do it for me. So I do it through my boyfriend, my child, my wife, my job, my finances, my body. Why? Because once I get my punishment, I'm now exonerated and I'm okay again.
But you're not.
So when a person comes along and say, you are innocent and you do not deserve to suffer, even though a part of the mind loves to hear that, the part of the mind that believes that it's through punishment you are made okay again sees me as the Antichrist and doesn't like what I'm saying, because I'm taking away the punishment it thinks it needs to be okay. So that's why one part of you will love what I'm saying and what the Course is saying, and another part of you is anti every word that's coming out of my mouth. And I know that even if you don't, because I know how the ego operates. It operates out of fear. It operates out of separation. So it's the part of us that tries to keep the drama and the pain going in order to maintain the pain body. So there's a part of you and me that feeds off pain. It loves suffering. It's attracted to drama. It's attracted to guilt. It's like addicted to it. It's like in a drug addict. And when you say, I'm finally going to give myself peace, and you start moving toward peace, you have the same reaction as a drug addict that has now been taken off the drug. You go into withdrawal. And when you go into withdrawal because you're a drama king and queen and you're used to all some kind of problem all the time, you become desperate for something to bring back that fix you need. And you usually, when you first get in the truth, you'll be most tempted to do the stupidest things you have ever done in your life. When you get into the truth, you will be tempted to do stuff that's just stupid, that you would have not even considered doing before you got into the truth. Because your ego is desperate to give you some drama to take you back into the old thinking you used to have about yourself. That's why you have to be most vigilant when you first get into, I'm going to be happy. That's why you have to be most vigilant when you enter that, I'm ready to change. Oh yes, well, okay, we're gonna see how easy we can make that happen. And not only, just think about this, not only is your old self saying I don't want to go, your old self has, through with your help, has a whole system that is built. Lots of friends that think the same old way, situations and circumstances that used to be the same. So it's not just your ego. Your ego has a fraternity or sorority. It's got lots of people to support it. But your new self is just getting started. You know what I'm saying? Don't have a lot of witnesses, not a lot of people saying right on about your new ideas. Actually, as you used to say, you're going crazy or you're in a cult or something.
Yeah.
Right? Your new self has not had a chance to get rooted yet. But what's so cool about your new self, though, is that your new self has the backing of God. It has the backing of the universe. Your new self is based on what's real, so it won't take as long for your new self to manifest as it took your old self to manifest. Because your old self was a self you had to make up on your own, and your new self is the self that was created by God in the beginning that's whole and complete and perfect. So one is given to you, the other one you've been making up. So it's not. So the new self is faster, easier, quicker to manifest than the old self. Because the new self has support. The old self, you have to do it on your own and try to make friends with other people that help you do it to yourself. And the Course says we do that mainly through our special love relationship. But that's the main weapon that we use to either make ourselves ridiculously miserable and unconscious or ridiculously awake and blissful. But there's no in between. It's either delaying you, and it's speeding you along, and you know which one it is by how free you feel in the relationship. And that's what used to make me mad about my relationships. I could rationalize whatever was going on in my relationships, but one thing I could not do is deny that I wasn't feeling really good. You know, so I could talk all this stuff I wanted to, but I knew that if I was with somebody and I really didn't feel free to be who I was or to express who I was, or I felt like I had to have private thoughts, and there's no way in the world I could, after knowing the truth, pretend that I had a real relationship with that person. But I used to be able to do that before I learned the truth. Because before I learned the truth, I was taught that was normal just to be in crappy relationships that you sometimes have a few good days and nights. That was just the way it is. Everybody tell you that. You know, then the truth goes, I don't have to tell you this, but if you was in a natural relationship, you'd just be experiencing bliss and joy. And since when something did come up, it would be a call for love. Y'all both recognize it and still support each other and keep on moving along. You know, it's like the book ran down exactly what a sane relationship looked like, and then it ran down what an insane relationship looked like. And the first thing you realize is an insane relationship to all you've ever had.
Yeah.
And it freaks you out. And then you look around you and all of a sudden you see everybody you know in insane relationships but don't even know they're in insane relationships. It's just deep. Right? But the reason why you can see it so clearly, you can see that contrast so clearly, the only reason why you can see that difference so clearly is that you are no longer in that thought system completely yourself. You couldn't be saying, oh my God, that looks like that's a hint. Because you know you're looking through your own ego. You're looking through the part of you that used to be the exact same way. So what you get a chance to do then is to start to have compassion for the way you used to be by seeing the way you used to be in everybody around you and getting a chance to forgive yourself. One of the scariest awakening things that I had on one of the journeys that the Course in Miracles has taken me on, and it's taken me on many adventures that most people would not believe, is that the scariest period I went on the truth path was when I was surrounded by people who were exactly like me. It happened. But before I realized it, I was surrounded by people who were exactly like me in terms of the same attitudes, the same want to be, whatever my thing was, they were just like me. The thing I like to do, they like to do it too. The things about me that everything about me, like most people think they'd be happy if they ran into more people like them. That's why we criticize people, because somehow or another we think the way we are is better. Obviously. Right? So, what would happen if you really ended up with you? That you really were your mate. You really were your friend. You. Somebody with the exact qualities, attitudes you got. Which was an attitude of freedom, which was an attitude of I take responsibility for my experience, which was an attitude of I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live it, the attitude of I'm not going to let you control me, because it's really about me living my life the way that I want to let the person who had the attitude that I create my own reality, I'm not responsible for your joy, your pain. A person with, what would you be? Well, how would you handle a person with the attitudes like what we are studying? that you couldn't manipulate them with anger. You couldn't manipulate them with guilt. You couldn't make them sacrifice for you. They wouldn't do something that they really didn't want to do. They didn't hide nothing from you. They were totally honest about what they felt and what they were doing. Could you really handle a person that loved more people than you, that was more open to other people than you, who felt themselves to be not guilty for whatever they did, and to see it as a call for love, and to believe that they are the ones that are responsible for what they're going on, and you are responsible for what you're going through, so therefore you can't manipulate them in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And when you try to put a guilt trip on them, they see that they feel that's an attack, and that's showing that you don't really love them, because if you really love them, you'd never attack them. You would try to share with them and communicate with them. So all the manipulative tricks of the ego would only give you less power over that person. That's what I said. You end up with people like yourself, people that you say you want to. Then that's when you get a chance to find out whether you can talk your talk. Because it's easy to talk this stuff as long as you're around people that will never test you to see if that's really what you are about. We can be spiritual giants as long as, you know what I'm saying, as long as you don't have to actually do nothing. You know? But then when, you know, it's like, but when I walk up on a female that is a very conscious me female, they cannot be manipulated because she recognizes the truth and therefore recognizes when you come in with some crap. You're forced to step up authentically or not step up at all. It's like right now, if I make a mistake in a relationship, I can't do anything but take responsibility for it, because it is no way in the world I can pretend that I didn't know that person was right for me or that situation wasn't right for me. I can't even play that game with myself no more. And you know, because you usually get some of your innocence from feeling like you didn't know. You know, well, I did something really stupid, but I just didn't know. But then all of a sudden, when you master this and you start to learn what a sane man is like and what a fearful man is like, and it breaks it down beautifully, and you know you're talking to a person that's very, just a good, right child of God with an insane mind. That simply means they learned the old lessons, then they still believe the old lessons in separation in the world that you used to believe in yourself. That's what I mean. Okay? And so they're just as able to be just as conscious as you are. They just learn something different, and right now they're still attached to that learning and they want to keep that learning. So you know, if you enter into a relationship that's a special relationship with someone that feels that other people are to blame for what they go through, you know that person will eventually project that on you when they become afraid and unhappy with you. So you know when you say, give me your phone number, whether or not you and this person are going to have peace with each other or not by the degree of separation that you feel exists between you. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, if I'm talking to a woman who believes that she is a woman and that is all she is a woman, then that's the last woman I need to be in a special relationship with, because she will not understand the attitudes that I am learning through this book about our oneness and who we really are. So we're going to have problems. But it used to be the form or the body or something about the body was so appealing that I would go ahead and do it anyway. And then end up getting the drama at the back end. But I sure couldn't pretend like now that I don't know. So then my ego said, well, you'll never have nobody. You're not going to find anybody that's that conscious. You know, you're not, well, you don't know when you're not going to ever get no more loving. You got to either have loving with an insane woman or nothing at all. And so, I mean, that's the truth. It's the truth. Either you'll go through this phase where it say, well, I know you're trying to go for this higher kind of loving kind of person, but you know there's no people like that around. And where you going to find him at, you know? So you better go for what you can. At least they're looking at a book. Go for that. They look at the cover of the power now. Go for it. But then you don't realize that that's the woman who's really about to go the most crazy. Yeah. Because she's now getting involved with the truth. So her ego is going to be trying to defend against it. So you get a chance to get the double whammy insanity. So you hope and pray that the loving is worth it. There's nothing else. You know what I'm saying? That's what we all do. You know, that means that's not too real for y'all. You know what I'm saying? But that's right. That's the way it is.
Is this called
color-coded in any way to help us along?
Yeah. Look at my color. I know. Yeah, that's what the Course means by saving time. It talks about how you can learn through another person's experience and not have to go through the experience yourself. But the fact that we think we're so different is what keeps us from taking advantage of the lessons we can learn from other people, because our ego says we're so special that it wouldn't happen to us that way. That's like you with somebody and you're watching them mistreat somebody else, but then you say, well, they would never do me that way. See, that's your specialness fooling you. Your specialness is saying, oh, I'm so different and they care about me so much. They would never do that to me. See, no. That's how you know what the person is like, is by how they treat everybody else. You don't really, you appreciate how they're treating you, but if you're a conscious being, you're paying more attention to how they're treating everybody else around them and how they're talking about the people they used to be in a relationship with. So if you're a conscious being, you're listening and you're trying to be interested rather than trying to be interesting. Unconscious person, trying to be interesting, trying to get your attention, trying to get you to be impressed with me, trying to have some input. Okay, conscious person, what do you think? What do you feel? How do you feel about that? What are you really about? What are your interests? Wow. Yeah, what was it like in the last relationship? What do you think you're learning? See, that's what a conscious being is, assuming they don't know you, so they're asking questions to get to know you. An unconscious person already figured that they do know you, and what they want to do is become interested enough to get what they think they want from you. And that's what I'm telling you, this book is a trip, because it breaks it down. It breaks it down. Okay, so then he says, well, the next thing you do is you start asking for people you can learn with. Okay, that's what you do. So you ready for some relationships? You say, I'm ready to learn. Then you back it up. You back it up with believing that anybody that comes to you from the Holy Spirit, anybody that comes to you from love, anybody that comes to you from Spirit, is going to be somebody that needs you the way you already are. So they will not come into your life telling you all the things you need to change in order for them to love you. That's the rule number one. They'll be saying more like, the way you are is absolutely helpful to me. Now, it could be a situation where you look like you're giving them hell, that you're just the opposite, right? But they'll say, well, you know, the way that you tend to go off and express your anger, it really helps me get in touch with my anger and where it's really. In other words, they're looking at how you are being as somehow helpful to them, which reinforces your sense of innocence. Because it's hard to feel guilty with somebody that's always seeing you as benefiting them. And the Course says guilt is the thing that causes all the pain we go through in every form it takes. It says guilt and fear are the same. That's what he says. It's only love and fear, and then fear takes the form of guilt and anger and depression and sickness and attack and lack. And love takes the form of freedom and joy and harmony and health. You see what I'm saying? But he says it's just those two things we experience, it, love or fear. Any questions about any of that before I go a little bit further? I love how it covers so much. Yeah.
So looking at all your relationships as you are of benefit to me, I see the benefit.
Mm-hmm. And if you're seeing them as beneficial to you, then you're seeing them correctly. Okay. But the Course says there is never any need to suffer to learn the lesson. I said again. There's never any need to suffer to learn a lesson. There is never any need to suffer to learn a lesson. But if you choose that route, then it's a way that it could be used to help you. So you win either way it goes. Okay? If I'm stubborn and want to keep on doing it the way I've been doing it, then if I tell Spirit to be with me, then Spirit can show me how to look at that in such a way that it'll be beneficial to me, even though I'm going through pain that I didn't have to go through in order to get that lesson. For those of us who still like our suffering. Those of us who feel like we've had enough suffering, there's a way for you to get the exact same lesson as the suffering person, but you get it through joy. You know, and that's the toughest way of all to people who are used to feeling guilty and not enough. But I'm willing it. Do my part to see if I can handle it that way. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, you know what I mean? And that's what's going through, and that's what's happening in my life now. And it's really a challenge sometimes. Because sometimes when you receive a lot of love from people, it brings up your suspicion when you reach your limit. It's like. So you sound sincere. Bam! I've reached my limit of what I can receive that really sounds good. Now I'm gonna say, I don't know. That kind of sound like a lie. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you can tell me I'm pretty 10 times. You tell me 12. I don't trust you. You see what I'm saying? So the only thing that happened was you were made aware of your own limitation on how much you could receive.
Wow.
So at the point you hit your insincere level, you're really just reaching the point of your capacity to receive. And then to justify your limited ability to receive, your ego will start interpreting that person in such a way that you'll feel justified in your suspicion. Which goes something like, I just believe it's a lie. That's justification. I don't have to accept anymore now. It's a lie. But the truth was, you made that up in your mind that it was a lie. It could have been totally and completely sincere as the rest of the times. But suppose he really was lying. Well, then you know how you really feel about yourself. And so they just got you in touch with a deep subconscious belief you have about yourself that you don't know about. That's where the liars and deceivers come from. They come from your own hidden beliefs about yourself that you're not aware of.
And so a person comes in their life to remind you?
To show you what you're hiding from yourself. If I'm betraying myself by not letting myself have the kind of peace and joy that I deserve to have as a child of God, then I got to have some people show up in my life to betray me, to reflect back to me what I'm doing to myself. So that I'll stop being in denial about how I feel about myself. Because as long as it's, what he said, as long as it's hidden, it'll never disappear. Until I can bring the truth to it, it won't disappear. But how can I bring the truth to something I don't even know is there? So the question the Course asks is, and I'll ask you this question and you'll get a good point from it. Will poison that you don't know you're taking kill you as fast as poison that you know you are taking? Right. Well, it would have to. Whether you knew you were taking the poison or not, the poison would kill you at the level of the body. Okay, that's what the Course is saying. We don't know we're taking poison, but we're getting the effects of the poison and don't know where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Right? So what do? We project that the cause of the poison is something outside of ourselves, and never get in touch with the real cause of the poisoning, which is the hidden ideas that I have about myself that I didn't know I have. So if you want to get rid of the betrayers out here, I have to stop betraying myself in here, right? What in the Course says, well, what is self-betrayal? And I love that. He says, well, self-betrayal is pretending that you are alone. Self-betrayal is pretending that there is no creator that you have that's loving you. Self-betrayal is wanting to die and wanting to feel guilty and wanting to hurt yourself. So he says that's what we don't realize, that that's what betraying yourself is. And so we create people who correspond with those self-betrayal thoughts. They betray us, and then we wonder how where it came from. And we didn't know it's because we were betraying ourselves. Okay, so then you decide you're not going to betray yourself anymore. What does that mean? That means saying no. What do you mean? It means saying no. It means when the old order comes from the kitchen that you used to order from the kitchen, when they bring it to the table, you say no. And so your first test is going to be that old order of man, woman, friend, job is going to show up one more time. That old lover you haven't seen for 10 years that really had you going. Let's see if you're ready to not betray yourself anymore. I'm back, talking the same stuff I talked, acting the same way I acted, just as unconscious as I used to be. But will you want me again? Will you want to be in a relationship where you can't really bring yourself into it? You can't really be yourself. Are you going to betray yourself? I'm going to look good. I'm going to talk the way you like to hear people talk. I'm going to look the way you like people to look. I'm going to do everything for you but accept you. You know, if all the rest of the stuff is worth it, then you'll still enter a relationship with me because there's some stuff about me you want more than to be your authentic self. So you betray yourself again, right? And then you end up, the relationship didn't work out because it was not based on love. And no relationship that's not based on love will last. or you will learn as much as you can from each other at the time and appear to separate, which is cool, which is normal, which is not unloving. It's different between me and you going as far as we can, and then we still want each other to be happy, but we just can't keep going with each other. This has to change. We've done as much as, why do we know? Because we're always at each other's throat. We're always arguing. We're always upset. We're not. Okay, then for us to say, hey, we're going to do it differently now, and I wish you well, that's loving. So every relationship that ends doesn't mean you're a relationship failure. It's an illusion that says you should be with one person a lifetime. Of course, it's very rare to be in a relationship with somebody for a lifetime. That's almost like a ridiculous goal to set for yourself. It's more normal to in and out. I mean, people come into your life. You know, we talk about special relationships, so it all fit in, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm going to stop here. We're going to do the love offering. I'm trying to do in my classes now is really give people the full advantage of my absolute obsession with the Course and really bring the experiences into the room to save us time, and then to show as we read through it how you can apply each one of these sentences to your experience. That's why it doesn't matter how much we cover, so much as if we get one idea clear, it'll lead us to all truth. The Course says one truth will lead you to all truth. So it's really not about quantity. It's really about, if I walk out of here today and I recognize that if I'm still going through a lot of fear and a lot of pain, that evidently I'm not applying the truth to this situation, even though I might be telling myself I am. So I need to go back into the truth and check it out and see what it is I'm doing or not doing. You know, that to me, that, you know, to know that if it hasn't disappeared, I haven't really applied the truth yet. But don't condemn myself. Don't beat myself up about that. The Course says, I need a happy learner. He says, and a happy learner is somebody that doesn't attack themselves about learning. So we're learning. So we're going to do it good sometimes, and sometimes we're going to be tempted to go right back into that kitchen one more time in order that same order. You know what I mean? Because the person that most reminds you of the past, when you're in your ego, the Course says, you know, you're really attracted to a lesson in forgiveness, but you don't know it. What you're calling your strong attraction to that person is you're feeling a strong need to forgive them. And you're entering a relationship so that the things can come up that you all are going to have to forgive. And that's why sometimes they seem to start out so cool and then go south. It's because the initial attraction was there in order to get you into the dynamic that would present both of you with what you needed to release in yourselves. Which is, you know, cool if you're going to be in a relationship that's based on any kind of special experience. But the Course says, but you don't have to do that. You could just as easily have had your loving self, the Holy Spirit, send you a relationship that the way you are is perfect for what they need at this time. But you don't lose in either situation. One can be a lesson, if you want it to be, so you still grow. I'm sick of those. And anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, great. I want to go the gifting route. You know, the one where I'm giving the gift of what's best for me, rather than this old route of, well, you know, if I don't learn it with her, I'm going to have to learn it with somebody, so I'm just going to stay in this relationship so I can get it. And then the truth is saying, well, wouldn't it be easier to get it with somebody you like? Wouldn't that be more motivation if you wanted to go home? That might help you handle the relationship issue if you want to go home. So this whole thing of choosing the most incompatible, hard get along with people as the one you going to stay with so that you can learn your lesson is another form of my original premise of what I'm suffering. That's the real thing. It's just S&M at a spiritual level. Spank me again, baby. Spank me again tonight. Oh, God.
You don't hear that.
You do in the church of what's happening now. You know, in the church of what's happening now, you know, that's all I want to attract to me anyway. People we can get down to earth and talk about what's real, you know. Now, I want to do a little thing with you all before you leave, and I'd like you to just kind of take a minute, take a breath, and close your eyes. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock is the next class, and 1 o'clock on Sunday, and I'm also available for one-on-one sessions, and I got flyers up here to describe the voodoo that I do. I got my latest headdress on ready. Got my drums upstairs and everything, my feathers. I'm ready. I'm ready. I got my spear. Okay. See, somebody that really wanted to have some fun would say, I got to come to hear him. You know, somebody that wants something out of the ordinary, they'd be like, oh, really? I'll be right there. And that's why you want to be yourself. You want to be yourself so that the people who are attracted to that won't have any doubt that you're the one they need to go toward. And you have so much fun.
Yeah.
But when I used to try to hold back who I was so that I would be acceptable to everybody, I had like a pablum relationship existence. It was great. You know what I'm saying? But when I was willing to Madonnaize my experience, and that's how Madonna was one of my best teachers.
Right.
You know, Madonna was regardless of how anybody else felt about it. So she was surrounded by the people who adored her completely, and the people who didn't stayed as far away from her as they could, which meant she ended up being surrounded by people who adored her.
Yeah.
There's never in a loss in losing someone who don't appreciate you, but you don't realize that until you start to become sane.
Mm-hmm.
When you're still insane, you actually feel bad about losing somebody who doesn't appreciate you. And you grieve it. You know what I'm saying? But one day you wake up and you go, I think you sent them some flowers. Thank you so much for leaving me. That was the most loving, especially since you didn't appreciate me. Do you know you could have been cruel, so cruel that you stayed with me and didn't appreciate me? Like I see a lot of people do with each other. Thank you for loving me and loving yourself maybe so much that you would not keep yourself in a situation that wasn't bringing you what you thought you wanted. So you left. Rather than trying to attack me and beat me in some emotional form into what it is you thought you wanted me to be, like somebody who would be trying to be faithful and loyal.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Bam! It's like, I'm not going to leave you because I believe marriage is forever. I hate your freaking guts. But I'll stay here every day because marriage is forever. It's like, oh God, I hope nobody ever loves me that much. That they would want to be around me when they didn't care for me. Because of some misguided sense of loyalty and commitment. You know, be committed to our joy. Don't be committed to the form we're in, that our two bodies are together. Don't be committed to that. Be committed to, I'm going to be a great experience for you, and you want to be a great experience for me. Now, let's be committed to that. So people talk about too many divorces. That just means that there's some people who've decided they don't want to stay in stuff that don't bring them no joy. And that's different from this generation and the previous generations when they would have stayed and made their sacrifice no matter what. So who's on a higher level of consciousness? Well, they're both equal in their learning opportunities. We don't judge either way.
So it's still the death of the joy do us part.
Yeah. I'm going to say with you the death of the joy. And the average person, if you really care about a person, you're going to give it a shot anyway. Nobody has to tell you to try to do everything you can to make it work. You know, you're just saying I should just walk away. You're only going to walk away when you really want to walk away anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't want to walk away, you'd be one of the people saying, I'm going to stay there no matter what. So either way it goes, an honest, you know, you see where you're coming from, you're okay. But what you're doing is you're blocking the person or the situation that would be completely perfect for you based on your real loving self. They can't wait to get to you. It's on the other side of the blinds. All you have to do is open it. You don't have to make it. So, can you imagine what a state of mind without fears and worries is? How would it feel to have no fears, no worries, and no concerns right now because everything was taken care of and okay? Imagine that. I want you to remember when there was a time, perhaps a minute or maybe even less than a minute, when nothing came to disturb your peace. Try to remember this. You just had perhaps just a minute where you weren't worried about anything. When you were certain you were loved. Just an instant when you felt, you know what? I really feel safe. then try to picture what it would be like to have that moment be extended to the end of time. What would it be like to have that cool moment extended to the end of time, to eternity? Then let the sense of quiet that you felt be multiplied 100 times. And then let your peace be multiplied another 100 times. Now you have a hint, not more than just the faintest intimation of the state of your mind and how it will rest when the truth has really come to you. Take the happiest moment you've ever experienced. Imagine what it would be like if that moment lasted to the end of time. Then imagine what it would be like if that was multiplied hundreds and hundreds of times. And then you just have a hint of the state of mind and the experience you're going to have when you accept the real truth, which is what you're doing. So be it. That's all, folks.
That's it.
The lab awaits you.